Good afternoon. I've been thinking about this scripture all weekend, and one of the things I love about the scriptures is that you've heard me say this before. It's like a hologram. Scripture will never contradict itself, but you can look at the scripture or a verse and you'll see one thing, and then you'll look at it again and see something else. You'll see another nuance about it because there's this prisms to that of truth. And again, they can't contradict each other, but it just amazes me. So when I read this chapter and I see Jesus talks about abiding in him, he talks about abiding in his love, and in some ways you can almost think of those as two separate things, and of course they aren't. But I think there's a real connection by what he says earlier. Let me just read these verses to you again. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless you abide in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in the verse that Bracken read in verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now think about what the context of the scripture is about. What's the heart of it? And the heart of it is our union with Christ. Now I know that we use that phrase a lot, but again, the term in Christ is the most used term in all the New Testament. Almost 300 times it's referred to. Because it is the gospel. That's the good news. The Lord didn't save you by Jesus going to the cross, paying for your sins, then tapping you forgiven because you put your trust in Christ. The Lord saved you by placing you into the person of Christ. As I prayed that Jesus became human so he could take on your humanity. He bore your humanity and all the brokenness of your humanity without sinning. And he took it to the cross and conquered it. In the life that he lived and the death that he died, he conquered it. And you rose up in him, joined to his life, now living from who he is. Not just living for him, but primarily living from him. That's what makes you a new creation. If any person's in the person of Christ, they are a new creature. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we have been created in Christ Jesus. That's how he did it. That's how he made a new creation. But putting us into the person of Jesus. And so we use this phrase a lot, but it speaks clearly to me so vividly that you have been woven into the fabric of Jesus's existence, and therefore he's been woven into the fabric of your existence. So those phrases, you and Christ, Christ and you, are intermingled realities. You're seated in heavenly places with him. He's now walking your walk here on earth. It's a walk in the Spirit. It's the life of Christ. And so when Jesus says about vine and branches, and we did this recently, we've been in this chapter, it seems like, for years now, that you're not a branch attached to a vine. You're part of the vine called branch. A grapevine is just a grapevine. It includes the root, it includes the stem, it includes the branches, it includes the leaves, and it includes the fruit. So you're part of the vine called branch, created to bear fruit, bear the very fruit of the life of Christ. Now, and ultimately, that is the love of God, that God loved us so much, he did not just come and pay for our sins so that we'd be forgiven and guaranteed a place in heaven, but he actually took us into himself that we might participate in the life of God through Christ, joined in the fellowship of the triune God, might live in union with him as the bride of Christ forever. That's the amazing thing. It's bigger than anything anybody could ever think of. And of all the fantasy movies and magical movies and movies about pretend creatures and kind of things that are almost always out there, no one's ever thought of something like that, that God would become a person to take all persons into himself and crucify those persons, put to death the old man, so we could raise up the new man in him, joined to him forever. Now think about that. You're not just going to be in heaven loving God. You're going to be joined to Christ forever as his bride. You're already seated in him in the heavenly places. And so when I was thinking about that, that when Jesus says abide in his love, at least one of the primary things he's saying is just abide in the fact that he loved you so much that he's now included you into his life. That changes everything. It changes the way you see everything. It changes the way you handle everything. And so all the branch has to do is rest and receive the life of the vine flowing through it. Resting from our fallen struggle to try to make life work. Apart from him, he said, we can do nothing. But it said in Philippians that I can do all things in Christ. That's the word, not through, but the word there is in Christ. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But good news is you're not apart from him. I can do all things in Christ who is my strength. That's stunning. That's the gospel. But there's this place in thinking about that great expression of God's love for us, our union with him and the rest, not the rest of inactivity, but the rest of living by his divine activity instead of the stress of trying to do things on your own out of sincerity, quote, with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not resting from activity, but resting in his activity. This is what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 2. This is the bride of Christ speaking. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. It's kind of like 2 Corinthians 5, that we are new creations in Christ, new creatures. And the word creature there is the word in the original language that's something that no one's ever seen before. There's nothing like it anywhere, like you, because of your union with Christ. I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm the lily of the valley. And then the bridegroom responds. Jesus says, like a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the maidens. Now, isn't that interesting that we hear all the time preachers and teachers talk about how we're to die to self? Well, the old self was already taken care of. He marked that one off already. You can check that box. And that somehow there's humility about self-hatred and self-degradation and somehow talking about what a worm you are and how sinful you are. When Paul over and over again says that we're saints, we're holy ones in Christ, capable of sinning, but our new nature is a divine nature. It's what he says. We're partakers of divine nature. And every one of you have a desire to not sin because you're one with the heart of Christ. And so it's okay for a believer to go, you know, I really like who I am in Christ. I love who I am in Christ. For your life, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. And we're supposed to not like that, not love that, not celebrate that. Like he had this new creature, but we want to despise the creature that he created in Christ as some kind of form of humility. No, the humility is the celebration of the fact that I wouldn't be any of that apart from the grace of God. That's the humility. He said, like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the garden, so is my beloved. This is the bride speaking about Jesus again. We won't get bogged down in all this. So is my beloved among the young men. In his shade, the shade of his presence, I took great delight and sat down, entered into rest. Rest from my own works, now living by his, from my own self-effort. Resting from doing my best for God and experiencing God doing his best through me. In his shade, I took great delight and sat down. His fruit is sweet to my taste. He's brought me to the banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Sustained me with raisin cakes, refreshed me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let his left hand be under my head. Wouldn't it be nice for you to experience your head coming to a place of rest and all the traffic that goes on in your head to stop? May his left hand embrace me. And then this verse 7, this is one that struck me. Now, this verse is repeated three times in the Song of Solomon. This chapter, chapter 3, and chapter 8. So it's significant that Jesus kept saying this. Jesus keeps saying this. Now again, this is all metaphorical, poetic language. But he said, I adjure you. In other words, it's kind of like Jesus doing the verily, verily thing. It's the language of you need to really pay attention to what I'm saying. O daughters of Jerusalem, the people outside of you, your world, where you live in, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you will not arouse or awaken my love, us, until it pleases. Now, gazelle and the hinds of the field, they're super sensitive. You know, could be easily stirred up. And what he's saying to these daughters of Jerusalem, he's saying to them, this one has entered into rest and abiding in my love and resting in me. Don't disturb that. Now, here's the funny thing about the scripture to me is that every one of us have the same assignment in life, and that is others. Do you hear me? You may have different vocations. You may even have different ministry gifts, but they're all about others. That's, we all have the same assignment. Christ lives his life in us, and it's about others. But haven't you discovered, so like if you're going to do some ministry thing, no matter what it might be, and there's all kind of warfare surrounded around that, about that. Like when we do our inner healing weekends, our personal revival weekends, we always laugh about the warfare that comes around Lazarus weekends, usually the week before and the week after, just weird stuff happen all the time. There's such interference. Why? Because the very thing that represents our assignment, because the Christ who lives in us lives for others, can also be the very great distraction to our walk with the Lord. People were called to give our life away in self-emptying love to people. Have the same attitude in you that's in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, and so we surrender to that, and we live for others. And we don't live offended with them, do we? We can be offended for them. We can be disappointed for them. We don't walk around hurt with them. We hurt for them. There's such freedom in that. But at the same time, in our calling to love people with the love of Christ, it's the very people that we're called to love, it's the very people around us that can be the greatest instrument of the enemy to rob you of your abiding life in Christ. Have you ever noticed that? That most of the time, the conflict that you deal with, the warfare that you deal with, is about other people's behavior. And I've just mentioned some of the things. People can say things to hurt their feelings, or they'll act in bizarre and weird ways. So we want to give in to anxiety. Well, Jesus doesn't get anxious, so that's, we don't abide in anxiety for resting in him. Or we get angry or get offended or get bitter or get resentful or worry or want to control, get angry. But the very thing, the very assignment that we're called to can also present the greatest danger of robbing you of abiding in the love thing, this resting relationship in Christ. So when people do things that stir you up, it's not just about the enemy attacking them, it's about the enemy using them to attack you, because the enemy wants to use them to rob you of your rest. He wants to use them to rob you of the great gift of your union with Christ, your experience of that. And this is Jesus warning, just saying that, warning us. In my life, there have been situations and circumstances in my life, but almost always there are people behind those situations and circumstances. There are just things that go on that can make me anxious or make me get frustrated. When you hear words like frustrated, that's always about people. Almost always when you talk about complaining, that's about people not acting right. Livy used to say all the time, people just don't do right. Because there was the right way, there was the wrong way, and there was the Reeves way. And that was the only way it should be done. But people just don't do right. So we fall into worry. Jesus doesn't worry. He doesn't get angry like that or frustrated or complain. You understand what I'm saying to you? I really mean this to be really practical for all of us, because it isn't just about what they're going through. It's not just about what they're doing that's at stake here. It's about how you're responding. Because if you're responding not from a place of abiding in Christ, then the enemy's winning. On two accounts, their behavior and now yours. And here's the thing that Jesus said is so interesting here. Like the, I ask you to swear by the gazelles or the hinds of the field, is that sometimes it can only take just a little thing that people do that knocks you out of, that gets you out of sorts, you know that language? Just little things. Because our walk with the Lord is a very sensitive one. Our abiding in Christ is a sensitive one. And it's not just the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, that get us in trouble when people do horrible things. It's the little things they do. You ever get irritated with people? Did you get irritated this morning with people? You can't be abiding in Christ and be irritated at the same time, because Jesus doesn't get irritated. Did you get a little impatient with people this morning? Did you get a little impatient with people driving their cars coming here? That's people. Jesus doesn't get impatient. Get a little frustrated that people weren't doing stuff on your schedule? Well, your times are in his hands, not yours. I mean, I plan things, but in the end, the schedule belongs to him. Those are the things that are just seem like small, but you know, your walk with the Lord, your abiding thing in Christ, you need to protect more than anything else. So it's important that we understand that. The very people we're called to love as our assignment, which is humanity, are the very instrument that the enemy wants to use, even in the smallest things, to rob you of this great act of love that God has included you into the life of Christ and the joy and the wonder and the freedom that brings us. He came to save you not just from what you've done. He's come to save you from who you became. We have to watch out that we let nothing that people do rob us from that. Because then not only are you losing, but instead of by your stripes, them being healed, you're in bad shape as they're in. You know, we talk this analogy all the time. I talked about this with somebody recently. If you throw rocks into a fruit tree, it doesn't throw rocks back. It gives fruit. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.